Good morning and welcome back to Nachiyomi. Today we're going to be learning Shir HaShirim Perek Ches, the eighth and last chapter of Shir HaShirim. Shir HaShirim is a short Megillah, only of eight Prakim, but it is sure replete with so much. That's why we've just touched the surface, and this is really an impetus to go back and spend more time and appreciate the incredible depth in Shir HaShirim. Our Perek is made up of 14 Psukim, but it is really divided into five separate songs, which do connect to each other, but they seem to be separate on their own grounds. The first song is the first four psukim, Aleph to Dalet. And in this section, it seems like it is a song sung by the Raya, by the young lady, about her longing for her dod, for her beloved. What she seems to be asking for is not just her closeness, but that closeness should be public, and no one should question it. That's why it ends again with an oath she makes the Benos Yerushalayim, the daughters of Jerusalem, to accept her love, that not question it. It's actually very similar to the second perek, Psukim Vav to Zion, in which again those two Psukim there, Smaloi Tachas the Roshi Vimino Tachabken, his left hand was under my head, his right arm embraced me, and then Hishpati Aschem Benos Yerushalayim Bitzvaos Oba Ayalos Hasadeim Toiru Vim Toiruus Ahavah Shetachpaz. I adjure you, O maidens of Jerusalem, by the gazelles and the hinds of the field, do not wake or rouse love until it please. That is almost identical to the Psukim Gimel and Dalet in our Perek, and that song over there was about love sickness, and similarly over here. One difference between the two songs is that in the song in Perek Beis, there is a question. When she makes the oath, she says, Im ta'iru v'im ta'iru, if you were to wake or rouse the love until it please. Here she says, Ma ta'iru ma ta'iru. Ima means to say is describing a fact, not a questioning of that fact. It seems that she is much more comfortable in the love that she's talking about. Now, what is the historical meaning of this? It seems that the nation of Israel is calling out to Hashem to bring his Shekhinah back completely to the nation of Israel in a visible and very public way. In fact, the way the Metzudos David explains this is that the first pasuk, which reads, Mi yitencha ka'achli, who would give that you should be as a young brother to me, Yonek Shadaimi, one who is still nursing from the breast of his mother, Emtsoacho v'chutz eshakacho gam lo yavuzuli, and then I'll be able to, if I found you outside, I would be able to kiss you and no one would embarrass me or despise me. The Metzudos explains that she says, I wish my relationship, the nation of Israel says, I wish my relationship with Hashem was that of a sister to a young brother. A young brother who's still nursing, who still does not care about his expressing his feelings or his inhibitions. And therefore, she says, I would just go kiss him in public and there'll be no problem. But the problem is now that I go and kiss those who I love in public, people say, oh, is that really the way? That's you. You want to be so public about your commitments and your passions and your love? So the Metzudos says, that's what Israel's saying to Hashem. Hashem, we wish we were proud enough of our love, that we were able to be unscared enough, not intimidated enough, and not to express without inhibition our love for you, Hashem, that when we go to the airport as men who can put on their tefillin and not feel embarrassed, and when we walk around, we're proud that we're Jewish. Rabbi Jonathan Sachs says, the one thing he learned from his decades in public life is that non-Jews respect Jews who respect Judaism, and are embarrassed of Jews who are embarrassed of their Judaism. But we do that all the time. We're embarrassed. We try to hide. We take away our signs of religious service in public and we kind of make excuses. But if we were to be proud of it, then ultimately, this is what we're asking for. As HaKadosh Baruch Hu, allow us to be strong enough to be proud of our religion. In fact, Rashi has a little bit of a different wrinkle in this, and that he says, Mi yiten ka'achli, why, if it were not to be that you would be like a brother to me, a young brother, and that's the relationship of Israel and Hashem. It's referring to the fact that Yosef in the Sefer Bereishis actually broke away from his brothers. He told Lashon Hara about them. They sold him, wanted to kill him. So Miyitin Ka'achli is Hashem, allow us to help ourselves. Not so much about the relationship with us and Hashem, it's about the relationship with us and each other. Once again, we should always remember that there is a completely different way of reading this Sefer, not on the Pshat level, not on the historical level of the relationship of Israel and Hashem, but on the journey of the soul. And the way the Malbim takes it, the Ralbag takes it in a similar way, is that this is a description over here of the Nefesh, of the soul, which looks back at the life. Remember, at this point in the story, the soul has left the body, right? The body is now dead and is decomposing. And the soul looks back on its life and reminisces of those moments, over the good and the bad and the ugly that were in life, the complications of dealing with the incarcerating forces of the Yetzer Hara, the bodily awareness and indulgences, And at the same time, the opportunities of achievement within this world. The Malbim quotes that there is a notion that a soul is misabeles, mourns for the loss of the body for 12 months. In the mourning process here, for those who have lost a loved one, lo aleinu, they wait those 12 months, and they're mourning for the lost soul. But the soul itself is mourning for the body as well. And that's part of what's going on over here, is this reminiscing which is going on. The next song is from Psukim Hei to Zion 3 Psukim, which is the power of love. In this, on the most basic level, the Raya, the lady, is describing the power of love that she has for her daughter. But she introduces new terms which we have not seen here in the Sefer up till now, and they're much harsher. She describes envy. Up till now, we've thought about love as something which enriches and elevates, but here she describes it as something which creates envy. She talks about death. And she talks about the envy and darts of fire. Ki aza kamoves ava, like powerful as death is love. Kosha kishol kina, and most terrible like the netherworld, is envy. And she describes it as a fire which cannot be put out. Maim rabim lo yuchlu lechabos es ava. No way to extinguish this fire, this fire over here. For further reference, just it's interesting to contrast Pasuk Zion and Aleph in this perek and see how they're two ends of the, perhaps two parts of this song, which reflect each other about the embarrassment, public embarrassment of love, which is fascinating. But what's the historical meaning of this? So Rav Amos Chacham in the Da'at Mikra suggests that Israel's declaring their undying love of Hashem, and they want to express this to Hashem publicly, even if it means going through fire and water. And unfortunately, looking back at the history of the nation of Israel, they have done all and more of what's being described over here. That's how powerful love is, as powerful as death, meaning to say, even to death, they do not part. That's what is being said over here in this, and this is a true historical description of this. What is the image? If you look at the beginning of this section, it talks about this image of Mizos Olamin Abbar Minbar Misrapekes Aldoda. Who is this who's ascending from the desert, who's leaning or is connected to her beloved? What's this referring to? So it seems to be that this is referring to, as Rashi explains, is that as Israel emerges from the exile in the desert, the place of no growth, she's still emerging, still dependent and connected. Rashi actually says the word misrapekes comes, rapak comes the word in Arab, which means group, rapakta, which means a chabura, a group. So it means to say that who is this who's emerging from the goddess but is still connected to the to Hashem? And then she turns in the next line to say, tachas ha-tapuach ar-ar-ticha. And she says the most beautiful lines is, under the apple tree I aroused you. And it was there that your mother conceived you. There she bore you and conceived you. What is this referring to? So Rashi says it's referring to back to Matan Torah. Look, Hashem, remember our wedding night. Yeah, look, I'm coming out of a very complicated time. I've come through this time of separation, but I'm still dependent on you, Hashem. I'm still loving you, even though I've been through the desert. And remember our wedding night when we got married at Sinai. How we together made the children and brought the children and the products of this nation to the world. And you can take the Tachas HaTapuach or Articha even further back. There's an example in one of the levels of drash. Remember, every pasuk has multiple levels of drash. The Gemara in Sotan Yud Aleph and Beis tells us that this image of under the apple tree being aroused is a description of when in Egypt the men would not be interested in having children because they were so hard worked and persecuted by the Egyptian task force that they were not interested in having children. The women would beautify themselves and entice their husbands to have children. And when they were pregnant, they would go out to the apple fields, apple orchards, and have their children there. And there's this whole magical description of how they would bury them and HaKadosh Baruch Hu would guard them. It's just a very, very powerful description. That's coming from this pasuk. It goes back to the level of commitment in our relationship to Hashem, even at times which are most trying. We now move on to the third song, which is Psukim Ches to Yud in this perek. This seems to be a song between the Raya and her brothers. The most basic level of reading this, and there are multiple ways of reading this. The most basic way of reading this is that it's the brothers of the Raya. Remember the young lady who's now married to the Dod. She's fled to marry him. They turn to her and they say, you know, we achos lanu katana. We have this immature young sister who's not physically mature. And they wonder what they should do with her when she matures. And they say, you know, maybe, you know, if she's like a strong wall, we'll give her some kesef. If she's a delis, if she's less strong, we'll give her a loach erez, we'll give her some wood. Meaning to say, we'll give her a dowry so she can get married. And she responds in Pasuk Yud and says, no. She says, I'm already mature. I'm already fully grown, and I've found the one I love. Here are the brothers who seem to be doubting whether she have any worth, and they haven't even been noticing that she's been growing up. And now suddenly she says, I am grown up. I found my love. I don't need you or your money. And this seems to be this tension between the Raya and her brothers. We saw that again in Perek Aleph Pasuk Vav, where she talks about Bnei Am Imin Charubi, that the brothers don't really pay attention to her. They don't really notice her. What's going on over here? Who are the brothers? What's happening here? So the idea which is understood over here is that this is the nation of Israel, and the angelic host are the brothers. They're the older brothers, so to speak. They're more close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're more spiritually connected. And they dismiss the nation of Israel. Look at these stupid human beings. These human beings make messes all the time. Machloikas, problems. They're killing each other. They're doing all kinds of terrible things. And Hashem says, but in the meantime, while you ignored her, while you ignored the nation of Israel, this younger sister of yours, look, she matured. And all through all her sufferings, she's found Hashem. She's found the most beloved one in her life. And that's what's being described over here. In fact, we could actually find a discrete moment in history where we could apply this idea, this model. The Da'at Mikra said it could be referring to the moment in history, or the Mitzvot points out this could be referring to the moment in history where the nation of Israel returned to the Second Commonwealth, to the land of Israel, under the Persian control, and rebuilt the Second Beis Hamikdash. And what's being said over here is perhaps it wasn't the angelic host speaking to her. It could be Israel saying, "We don't have anyone to nurse us. We're too young. We don't have any connection to the past. Who's going to give us the guidance to go further?" And the answer is if you remain chaste in Chomachi, if you're going to be strong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we'll be able to build a longer-lasting building. If not, it'll be a wooden building. It won't be so strong. It'll collapse. So it depends on your actions referring to that moment in history. Following this thought, this line of thought, or the Mitzvot probably gets this line of thought from the Gemara in Yuma on Daf Tesa Mabez, when it describes whether or not to build a Tiras Kesef, the silver crown upon the on this wall, or if it's a Delis, to build on it just a wood, a shaky wood. This refers to the Second Commonwealth, when the Jews were confronted with the discussion of whether or not to return from the land of Babylon to the land of Judea, which was, at this point was really like a desert. And the Gemara says is that if the nation of Israel would have gone up like Kachoma, like a wall in strength, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have given us the Tiras Kesef, this silver crown, and allowed the Second Beis Hamikdash to have longevity. But we didn't. In other words, we didn't take advantage of this opportunity, which was historically the moment that we certainly had. Something worthwhile thinking about, because there's so many parallels between that time of the return to the Second Beis Hamikdash and the return that we've had the opportunity of, and how many people have been reticent to jump onto that bandwagon until they feel more secure. And finally, we get to the fourth and the almost last song in this perek. Again, this perek has got so many details. It's clear that there are different songs. Is the vineyard of Shlomo and the vineyard of the Raya. It describes how there's a vineyard which was to Shlomo, and on the most basic level, Mshat, and he describes the wealth and the illustrious nature and how expensive it was to work. And the response of the Raya seems to be, Karmi Sheli Lefonai, I have my own very humble vineyard and I'm much happier with it, says the Raya, as opposed to Shlomo. This goes back to the themes of Shlomo, perhaps being this character, being the notion of power, as the Malbim says it, as opposed to, and bodily awareness as opposed to the soul. That's one way of looking at it. But another way of looking at this is actually from a different perspective. Is that we connected to the previous section that the brothers withheld a vineyard from her, and she says, no, you know what, I already have my vineyard, I don't need yours. Historically speaking, the way it's understood by most of the Mepharshim, Rashi understands this, the Da'at Mikra understands it this way, is that the vineyard of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the nation of Israel. We say on the Yom Narayim, Anu Karmecha, we are your vineyard, V'atak Natrenu, and you're the one who planted us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu left us in the hands of the tenders, the nations of the world, but they did not take good care of us. They took advantage of us. They abused the vineyard. And that being the case, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take back his vineyard and demand settlement. He'll demand din v'cheshbon as to why people treated us badly. Interestingly enough, Rashi says that they have to pay 200 more than the 1,000 that it is worth, which is 1/5 more when you damage property and you steal it. What is that 200 more? Interestingly enough, Eha'elv l'cho Shlomo, the 1,000 that's being returned, on the Talmidei Chachamim. Meaning to say, even through all the mistreatment, still that mistreatment allowed to emerge the most incredible and special and sublime human beings in the nation of Israel, who were able to come out of the crucible of those moments of mistreatment. And finally, the last two psukim is our epilogue song. The last two is Hayoshevet Baganim. It sounds like she is, this the Raya is now sitting in the gardens, And the dad is with his friends and he hears her, and he goes over to her and he says, my friends heard your voice, we're able to find you, come with me. And she responds by Barach Dodi, flee my beloved, and become like a hind Al Harevis on the mountains or the hills of spices. So it sounds like she's telling him to go away. Why is she telling him to go away? It could be that she's saying to him, let's leave your friends behind. Let's go, let's flee together, and let's leave everything behind and go together. Similar to the beginning of the Megillah, where she says, Moshcheni, draw me v'acharech anorutz, and I will run after you. Historically speaking, it sounds like what's being said over here is that Hashem hears the song of Israel, and he hears the call called Yaakov, which is the song of Torah and Tefillah. And throughout, even though she's in foreign gardens, she's in foreign lands, and Hashem says, I'm still hearing the Torah and Tefillah that you're singing, that's emanating from these orchards. And he says, even the angels want to sing, but Israel answers, let's run away together. Bring me back to the land of Israel. Let's build the Beis HaMikdash together. In fact, the Midrash Rabbah deepens this a little bit, and with this we close. And the Midrash Rabbah says that if you look at the rest of the nations of the world and you see all the immorality that goes on, and this is not a judgment on any specific individual, but in general, there's so much anarchy, so many problems, so many massacres, so much immorality which goes on in the world. Hashem, if he looks at the sum total and balance of humanity, he says, you know, is humanity doing a good job in terms of governing themselves? And the answer is, throughout a majority of history, no. There have been so many wars and so much terrible, terrible loss of life and immorality which has gone on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could really say, you know, on the cost-benefit balance sheet, it doesn't work out. So ultimately, the response is Barach Todi, Hashem, withhold, because look at the nation of Israel. Look at the fact that the nation of Israel still managed to remain almost completely chaste, is able to remain strong and faithful to it, to her position. That's what it is. Let's use that as the opportunity to defend the cause of humanity. And this relates to the general theme of the Megillah. As the Netziv Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin points out in his introduction to Shir HaShirim, Shir HaShirim is read on Pesach, as opposed to Koheles, which is read on Sukkos. Koheles is universal. It's about the condition of humanity as a whole. It's about the condition of finding meaning in life. Whereas Shir HaShirim is not about that at all. It's about chosenness. It's about particularism. It's about the fact that Hashem decided to choose the nation of Israel, and they are special. They are unique. They are intrinsically, not just contingently special, which means to say, ultimately, that's why we read it and we sing it on Pesach, a time when the nation of Israel was chosen. That's part of the validation, which seems to be the argument that runs throughout the entire Megillah, is the undying, unshakable relationship between the nation of Israel and Hashem, and ultimately how that will lead us through the deserts and the gardens of foreign orchards back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as we build the Beis HaMikdash b'mehera v'yameinu. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.